You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Johanna. Haji, Johanna, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Johanna, we're of course talking about your beautiful show at Bienvenue Steinberg and see the gallery, and I'm excited to get into this with you because this is an unusual body of work that's combining two bodies of work. Is that correct? There's Architecturis and also Abstractus. These are two different works that are coming together?
Yes, there are two bodies of work, recent ones. But before I answer your question about the exhibition, I would like to make a short introduction about my career as an artist. I have been a professional practicing artist for the past four decades. I graduated from a bachelor's art program in Bogota, and later I was granted a master's degree in painting at Chelsea College of Art in London. The title of the exhibition, Abstractus, was taken from one of the two bodies of work I have presented in Jose Bienvenue Gallery and Steinberg in New York City earlier this year. Just to put it into context, I have been centered my art practice in drawing, and I refer to the works at this exhibition as photographic drawings. So that is, I apply drawing techniques to vintage anonymous photographs I have carefully selected.
I see. So let's talk about that process, because that's so interesting, the drawing process and as it relates to these vintage works, because you're also using unusual mediums like nail polish there, correct? Can you walk me through how one of those is built?
Yes, certainly. First of all, I modify sea prints from the 60s and 70s, but I choose one after a thorough examination of over 200 photographs. I like to identify a certain color, a volume, or an angle. In other words, I examine singularities and emphasize them, and my work is about that. I emphasize them either with juxtaposed color or by cutting out the excess of information.
And what is a singularity exactly?
Something that stands out, that it's not common. For example, a volume that I can see in a photograph, or the perspective from which the photograph was taken. These photographs I work on are anonymous and are vintage. I don't know who took them or who is portrayed. I just like to center on the information that I can find as an onlooker.
And that sounds so interesting. So there's been this interest for you in a singularity for quite a while, right? This is how you're approaching subject matter in general, or only in this particular series that we're discussing?
When I am working on photographs, on sea prints, I look for singularity. But when I'm working on drawings in general, for example, on paper, not starting from an image that is already there, the process is different. in the photographic drawings, depending on the characteristic of the sea prints or the black and white analog photographs. It all depends on the qualities of the paper, of the emulsion. I cannot apply the same process to any kind of photograph.
And so let's talk about that, the process itself. You can apply it to any kind of photograph, but this is a very particular process, right? You're using these anonymous photographs, as you say, but you're working on top of them, and it's with nail polish. Is that correct? If that's correct, why nail polish, and how does that work?
Yes. One of the bodies of work called Abstractus is with nail polish over the image. In that case, I do not erase, but I add color. And what I do is I like to emphasize the color that is already there. I like the combinations of colors. I like the vernacular point of view. For example, if you are looking into the interior of a domestic space, if it's, I would say, from the 60s, for example, you can identify certain colors that are very particular of that period of time, the greens and the reds. And probably because also the film that was used, they have certain tones that you cannot find in the photographs that are digitally produced today. So what I do is I take that green and make it more contrasting to the red. I try to keep the same palette that I find in the photograph. And by using nail polish, I cover some of the spaces that I find are excess information. And to answer your question, I'm sorry, I talk about other things, but to answer your question about nail polish, is the colors are particular. The colors are the colors in the nail polish talk about a certain taste and a certain choice of colors, and is something that is a color or colors that are used in everyday life.
Yeah, they are used in everyday life, but also the colors that you're using. Well, the nail polish, as it reproduces or as you're saying, kind of interacts with the palette of these older images. We are talking about a palette of the past, right? These prints, these older photographic prints from before digital processing that, as you say, had peculiar colors. This is a whole world in itself, right? There's a world that we know of that is oftentimes reproduced with digital means, right? Scratchy photographs or photographs where, you know, the Polaroid emulsion didn't quite work, or well, there's slides or something else. So there's, what I'm asking is, there also seems to be a kind of time reference in these, in terms of that palette, because that palette that is so unusual at some of the times that you're talking about, but also so known to us, is from another world, right? It's not a palette that we see now. Is that correct? I'm asking about the kind of nostalgic aspect, almost, of looking at that kind of palette through vintage photographs.
I wouldn't say nostalgic. I would say because it's not that like an error of printing. It's these colors that are used in popular culture. When I see an interior of a house, there is something about the decoration that is most probably made by a woman, and the choice of colors are used not only in the 60s, but you can see like a continuity of the same colors used in facades or used in clothing, for example, even nowadays.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And there's also, we're of course talking about composition too. There's the color that we could probably talk about for quite a while, but then there's the composition, as you're talking about, when an interior is designed, you know, there's something, of course, decorative about it, there's something homey about it, and there's something architectural. In the Architectura series, we're exploring that kind of inner space, right, as opposed to the series that is abstractist. It's looking at color and also space, but Architecturus feels like we're looking at interiors. Sometimes very abstract, but I just want to talk about the difference between these and why Architecturus seems to inhabit a different kind of space in this series.
Yes, just to clarify, Architecturas are the ones worked with nail polish, and abstractas are those that I cut out part of the information that is in the background, and I leave only small patch or small pieces of colors I want to emphasize. So the process is different. In abstractus, what I do is I first identify the colors I am interested in. For example, the two or three shades of red, and perhaps one darker color, and see how they work within that space that has been captured by an anonymous photographer.
So let's talk about that. The go on, yeah. It's photographed by an anonymous photographer. So those are the two bodies of work that you're saying, right? You're talking about the difference between the two of those. So so in abstractus, there is more elements of interiors, isn't there, or no? How would you separate these two, Architecturus and Abstractus? One is painted in a specific manner, but is there also a different relationship to space among the two of them?
Yes. On one hand, Abstractus can be does not need necessarily be an interior or an architectonic space. It can be landscape or maybe a detail. In those, I am interested in identifying colors that I find peculiar to put together. So I just cut out the space that have the color I have chosen. I erase all the background and leave only a square or a circle to stress and to emphasize that color. The end work is this, again, a palette, but I am trying to identify colors that somehow have a contrast between themselves.
And to talk about the color itself, right? There's the contrast of color, the palette of color. And tell me about your work with color. There's so much to do with color theory in terms of not only how it affects us in terms of emotions, but and psychologically and perceptually. But of course, there's all these reactions when it's together, right? You're using an unusual type of paint as well. So let's, for a moment, just talk about your beginnings in kind of color theory, was there a specific influence on you in terms of thinking about color?
Well, no, not exactly. I did a master's degree in painting, but I realized I was doing like very monochromatic oil paintings, and that led me to focus my work on drawing. So this work, these photographic drawings, are like exceptions to my work, and because it attracts me so much, like the choice of colors of what you can find in a home, that was what struck me. It doesn't respond to theories or any, I don't, it's not about, I'm sorry, we could
No,
erase
that's
that.
okay. It's a complicated subject, really. It's talking about color and theory and their relationship to space. You were talking about a kind of domestic space, right? The interior space and its range of colors, correct?
Yes, because I am working on anonymous vernacular photographs. It is about like a very emotive use of color, not from my part, but from the person that took this photograph. And that is one of the aspects I like to stress, that it's not something I am closely related to, but something that catches my eye and that I think that I see as a different array of colors.
Well, there's also a narrative, right? There's a story in these photographs that is not your story, right? You're interacting with an anonymous story that perhaps we can read or have a reaction to if we look at a vintage photograph of a couple walking or, sightseeing or something. We build a story around it to some degree. There is a story in these photographs. The photographs tell a story. Is that also part of a story that you use, the story that appears to be in there, or is it only on formal terms? It's the colors of the story, the shapes of the story, or is it also the literal quality of the story that can affect the working on these images, anonymous images?
I like to invent as little as possible, so I work with what I have, with what I see in these photographs. So I'm not sure if I am answering your question, but it is more about that. Not inventing, not although I emphasize the greens, for example, or the yellows, I am not inventing those colors. They are already in the image.
I see. And these images, there's just beautiful images. And of course, the listeners here, you can follow the links to learn more and see more. There's a scale to all these images. So just to talk about scale for a minute, these are all quite small, right? The mat is larger, but these are very small worlds we're looking at that have its own preciousness, correct?
Right. The size of the works I am exhibiting relate to the exact size of the sea prints. I am using analog color prints, and I do not like to digitalize them or enlarge them. I like to keep the qualities and the characteristics of what I am using. that is the reason why of the size and of the format.
Yeah, I like that. It's a very intimate size. There's something very special about that size, isn't there? There's the format itself, the dimensions, but also that size. You know, in a world where we're often confronted with very large paintings, large sculptures, it asks something different of the viewer, doesn't it, to bring us in that close?
Yes, I am aware that these photographs in the 60s, in the 70s, as they were in my family as well, were very expensive to make. So for a common family, it was not possible to enlarge them too big. They were kept in albums. And you can see in one film of 24 shots that the people who have taken these photographs have many different events, like throughout 1 year, because they couldn't take as many photographs every day. It's probably people take it for granted that in one day one can make 100 photographs with the telephone, but 40, 50 years ago, it was not the case. So I take it into account that each photograph is perhaps the result of a close observation, of waiting to the precise moment when someone is blowing the candles of the birthday cake, or when someone is getting married. So it was a special moment and a very particular.
Yeah. Right, a very special moment. We're talking about a moment in time because, of course, photography is about time. You're talking about time now, but that's a big aspect of this, right? Time itself.
It is, yes. I like to refer to these specific moments in time like a momentum. It's like the photographer needs to wait for the exact moment where the special moment is captured. I would say the First Communion, for example, when the first communion is given to a child, that is something the family want to remember forever. That's why they wait until that precise moment to make the caption.
Yeah, I see. That's so true. I like that. I wanna ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
I read between 2 or 3 hours a day the news from different sources, both digital and printed. To name a few, I read the New York Times and national newspapers. And I like to focus on foreign affairs, on economic geography, but also historical context to the present times, to science. And regarding the printed newspapers, I often cut out words and sentences that resonate in me. And in national newspapers, I like to focus on law enforcement and the peace agreement, and how human activities alter nature. So this is what I'm reading nowadays. I am also preparing a solo exhibition for next September. So I am not reading any book at this moment, only the news.
Well, thanks for sharing that with me. And I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. And again, for listeners, they can follow through and see the links and learn more about some of the works we're talking about. Again, thank you so much, Johanna, for talking with me today.
Thank you, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.